Task 2. You will hear part of an interview. Choose the option A, B or C that best completes the sentences according to what you hear. Sentence 0 is an example. Now read the sentences.
Now we're in Toronto and I'm with Rupi Kaur. So thank you so much
for having me.
Welcome me into your city and I'm excited to do this. We met a couple months ago in Los Angeles at the YouTube space. There was an event that Lily Singh was putting on. Mm-hmm. We were both there on different panels.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started to learn more about you and became fascinated with your story, your work, and how many people you've been impacting. Mm. It's been amazing what you've been up to. And all of my followers, especially the female followers, love you. So I'm excited to share with them this interview. And you've got a new book out called The Sun and Her Flowers, which is out now. So make sure you guys go get this book. It's really cool. And you had another book that came out a couple years ago, correct?
Yes.
And what was that one called?
So the first book that I released was called Milk and Honey. And I actually self-published the first one in 2014. And later on in 2015, it was picked up by a publisher and brought kind of worldwide to all bookstores.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And were you doing Instagram before that and kind of just sharing your poetry?
Yeah. Instagram was actually the last kind of social media platform I was practicing with. The first one was like, I just had for years I had kind of like a private blog for my like paintings and my artwork, because I was like, that's the direction I want to go in. And eventually that turned into more of a poetry blog where I would actually record the poetry, and like I kept trying these different mediums,
like spoken word,
but like nothing was sticking until I think I came up with the concept of kind of the design or visual elements of what you see on Instagram today.
Now there's not many mainstream poets in the world, right? There's not many people who have a massive following who are doing poetry. Are there others that you know of?
There are a few.
There are?
There are. Or maybe because, I don't know, it's just like the world that I'm from. But you're right. Like in the mainstream world of thing, like poetry doesn't really, it's not there. It's not the thing that, you know, you're going to get together with friends on Friday night and talk about, right? Yeah, yeah.
So how do you think you made this kind of mainstream?
I have no idea. Is it even mainstream?
If it is, that's cool. I think what you've done is picked up in a massive way for so many people where they're just obsessed with your information, your lessons. And I think what we're talking about before is you were mentioning how you still don't have anything figured out.
No.
And it's so a way for you to like kind of express what you're going through, right?
Yeah.
At the time. Is that how you do your poetry?
Yeah, yeah. It's like I said before, it's all just a side effect of what's happening in life, and the poetry is the response. Like things happen around you, we all respond to them. And I have very emotional responses to a lot of things that are going on, and poetry is emotion for me. And so I always say that the poems actually write themselves in my mind and in my body before they're out on paper. So I kind of already know what I'm about to write. the poem's already done by the time I get to, you know, my pen, paper, and to the table to write
it
out.
You thought of it in your mind.
Yeah.
You started speaking it out to yourself.
Kind of. Or it's like, you know, when a song is on the radio and it's so irritating, but it plays on and on and on in your head and you can't get it out. There's a lot of poems that kind of came to life that way. It was like a 13-line thought that just kept going and going, and it was like, write me, write me, write me, write me. And I was like, no, 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 like, nobody cares about you. Like, you are not an interesting thought. And it's funny because, like, eventually I have to write it down just to get it out of my system and move on to something else. But it's those pieces, the ones that are, you know, write me, write me, write me. Mm. They're the ones that I think people really enjoy the most.
But you've written, what, hundreds, thousands of
these shorter
little poems, right? Thousands?
I think that when I go into maybe even thousands now, because it's kind of like my writing process is very fluid and very natural. I free write every single day. It's kind of like journaling. And so sometimes a thought is two lines. Sometimes it's three pages. And only when it kind of something just jumps right at me will I then take it, transport it to like a phone or a laptop actually, and then edit, revise.
Yeah.
But I usually, like, when I started to write The Sun and Her Flowers and was like, yeah, like, I just signed a book deal, now I have to do this.
Yeah.
I had to go, I had to print out all the work that I had done. And in my mind, I was like, you suck. Like, you have done nothing for the past 2 years. How are you going to write a book?
Well, except sell a million copies.
I know. And that's what I'm battling with right now. Like, I'm unable to sit with all I've done, and I keep pushing myself to do more, which I don't know if, I don't think it's been like a very healthy experience. But I arrived at writing this book with hundreds and hundreds of pages already written. Stuff that I'd been just, you know, journaling for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel pressure to kind of do better than what you did before in the previous
book? Oh, my God. So much. It's just so...
Because it kind of just took off, right? You sold over...
Yeah.
Is it a million copies? Is what?
2 million.
2 million copies
now
sold?
Now it's 2 million
Holy
and still
cow.
Going strong. Like, it just...
That's pretty...
I think 2 weeks ago it was back on number one on New York Times bestseller list, and it's been going for over 70 weeks, and it's like... a train that won't stop, and you're like, okay, like, we need to refill the gas tank. You need to stop. But it's like, nope. And it just keeps going and going and going. It's been wild.
Now, listen again.
Now, we're in Toronto, and I'm with Rupi Kaur. So thank you so much
for having me.
Welcome me into your city, and I'm excited to do this. We met a couple months ago in Los Angeles at the YouTube space. There was an event that Lily Singh was putting on.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both there on different panels.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started to learn more about you and became fascinated with your story, your work. And how many people you've been impacting. It's been amazing what you've been up to. And all of my followers, especially the female followers, love you. So I'm excited to share with them this interview. And you've got a new book out called The Sun and Her Flowers, which is out now. So make sure you guys go get this book. It's really cool. And you had another book that came out a couple years ago, correct?
Yes.
And what was that one called?
So the first book that I released was called Milk and Honey. And I actually self-published the first one in 2014, and later on in 2015, it was picked up by a publisher and brought kind of worldwide to all bookstores.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And were you doing Instagram before that and kind of just sharing your poetry?
Yeah. Instagram was actually the last kind of social media platform I was practicing with.
Really?
The first one was like, I just had a, for years, I had kind of like a private blog for my like paintings and my artwork, because I was like, that's the direction I want to go in. And eventually that turned into more of a poetry blog where I would actually record the poetry. And like, I kept trying these different mediums.
Like spoken word.
Yeah. But like nothing was sticking until I think I came up with the concept of kind of the design or visual elements of what you see on Instagram today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, there's not many mainstream poets in the world, right? There's not many people who have a massive following who are doing poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Are there others that you know of?
There are a few.
There are.
Or maybe because, I know, it's just like the world that I'm from. But you're right. Like in the mainstream world of thing, like poetry doesn't really, it's not there. It's not the thing that, you know, you're going to get together with friends on Friday night and talk about, right? Yeah.
So how do you think you made this kind of mainstream?
I have no idea. Is it even mainstream?
I think what you've done has picked up in a massive way for so many people where they're just obsessed with your information, your lessons. And I think what we're talking about before is you were mentioning how you still don't have anything figured out.
No.
And it's so a way for you to like kind of express what you're going through, right?
Yeah.
At the time. Is that how you do your poetry?
Yeah. It's like I said before, it's all just a side effect of what's happening in life. And the poetry is the response. Like things happen around you, we all respond to them. Mm-hmm. And I have very emotional responses to a lot of things that are going on. And poetry is emotion for me. And so I always say that the poems actually write themselves in my mind and in my body before they're out on paper. So I kind of already know what I'm about to write. The poem's already done by the time I get to, you know, my pen, paper, and to the table to write
it
out.
You've thought of it in your mind.
Yeah.
You started speaking it out to yourself.
Kind of. Or it's like, you know, when a song is on the radio and it's so irritating, but it plays on and on and on in your head and you can't get it out. There's a lot of poems that kind of came to life that way. It was like a 13-line thought that just kept going and going. And it was like, write me. And I was like, no. Like, nobody cares about you. Like, you are not an interesting thought. And it's funny because, like, eventually I have to write it down just to get it out of my system and move on to something else. But it's those pieces, the ones that are, you know, write me. They're the ones that I think people really enjoy the most.
But you've written, what, hundreds, thousands of
these shorter
little poems, right? Thousands?
I think that when I go into maybe even thousands now, because it's kind of like my writing process is very fluid and very natural. I free write every single day. It's kind of like journaling. And so sometimes a thought is two lines. Sometimes it's three pages. And only when it kind of something just jumps right at me will I then take it, transport it to like a phone or a laptop actually, and then edit, revise.
Yeah.
But I usually, like when I started to write The Sun and Her Flowers and was like, yeah, like I just signed a book deal, now I have to do this.
Yeah.
I had to print out all the work that I had done. And in my mind, I was like, you suck. Like, you have done nothing for the past 2 years. How are you going to write a book?
Well, except sell a million copies.
I know. And that's what I'm battling with right now. Like, I'm unable to sit with all I've done, and I keep pushing myself to do more, which I don't know if, I don't think it's been like a very healthy experience. But I arrived at writing this book with hundreds and hundreds of pages already written. Stuff that I'd been just, you know, journaling for the past couple of years.
Yeah. Do you feel pressure to kind of do better than what you did before?
Oh my God. So much. It's just so.
Because it kind of just took off, right? You sold over a million copies. Is what?
2 million.
2 million copies
now
sold?
Now it's 2 million and still going strong. Like, it just, I think 2 weeks ago, it was back on number one on New York Times bestseller list. And it's been going for over 70 weeks. And it's like a train that won't stop, and you're like, okay, like, we need to refill the gas tank. You need to stop. But it's like, nope. And it just keeps going and going and going. It's been wild.
This is the end of task 2.